Welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from Mercenary Musings World Headquarters is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folk. Mickey, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob, on the left coast of Canada here. And for most of the month of May, and we had a lovely May, lots of sunshine. And I've been here nearly 4 weeks and nary a drop of rain. Quite unusual for this time of year.
Very unusual for British Columbia indeed. So you've hit a home run there on the weather front, Mickey. Hit a home run as well in terms of picking a topic for this edition of Mercenary Musings Radio. A commodity that has been hot in terms of price movement in the markets and a real trailblazer in terms of making headlines, because we are looking at aluminum. And Mickey, this is a commodity that we, I think, last talked about was about 2 years ago. Give us a lay of the land in terms of market supply conditions right now and how things may have changed over the past couple of years.
Well, let's look first at what aluminum is and what it does and how much we use. It's the most abundant metal in the Earth's crust, and it's the second most used metal on the planet, about 2.5 times the amount of copper, so only behind the giant, which is iron ore. But this has all come about in basically the last 110 years or so. It was so difficult to isolate and produce. It was not used until the mid-1880s. And at that point, an ounce of aluminum cost more than an ounce of gold, if you can imagine that. It comes from bauxite, which is a residual ore in tropical environments, Al2O3. It's very energy intensive. 5% of U.S. electrical demand is used to process bauxite into aluminum, the metal. Mm-hmm. Lightweight, corrosion resistant, lots of uses, especially in the auto industry and windows, et cetera. Good electrical and thermal conductivity, and an important part of the market is recycled scrap at 30%. None of us throw our beer cans out the window as we drive down the road anymore, because we can get money to recycle them.
Absolutely. And you mentioned we use, what, about 2.5 times the amount of aluminum, 2.5 more times than copper. The difference being, though, you don't view aluminum as being a good barometer of economic growth like we do with copper, correct?
Not at all. Although it's a big market, it's very concentrated in 3 or 4 big players, especially lately with China taking control of the market, doesn't seem to have anything to do with the world's economy for the most part, because we are oversupplied right now. Aluminum smelter capacity operated worldwide last year 80%. It's got a broken supply chain. And my real concern, of course, is the U.S. and its import dependency, and that's increased dramatically. In 2013, we produced all but 21% of the aluminum required. In 2017, we are 61% import dependent. American aluminum industry has been non-competitive, and it's led to some turmoil in the market lately.
Yeah, turmoil in the market. And when you mention being dependent on foreign sources for aluminum, once again, this is a commodity that's all about China, isn't it? China dominating this market, producing more than 50% of global demand and supplies.
That's right. 54% of world demand or world supply comes from China. Other countries, 13%, and that's a mishmash of lots of countries. Then in third place, really, is the Russians at 6% and the Canadians at 5%. So it has become very concentrated in China over the last few years, and really has become concentrated even more so in China on the products, semi-finished or finished products, mm-hmm. versus raw aluminum. And that's what's led to the consternation in the United States about our dependency on China and these trade tariffs of 10%.
Okay, now you had mentioned, Mickey, the wild price movements that we've seen in the price of aluminum. Let's recap for listeners just how sharp those moves have been. Evidence of that really taking hold, I think, early April on some sanctions that were imposed on a Russian oligarch and his empire that really sparked a flurry of activity in the market.
Yeah, the prices are up about 51% since the bottom in January of 2016. But from March 16th to April 19th, the price spiked from 89 cents to an 11-year high of $1.18 pre-global economic crisis. It's now settled that back in as you know, when things go exponential, they do go parabolic, but yeah, the price is settled back in the low dollar range. It closed Friday at $1.03, but that's still a high for the last 7 years.
What's more amazing about the price movement is it's high at a time when global supplies are high. In fact, there's too much of this stuff out on the market right now. There's more than we need.
Well, there is. Shanghai stocks have surged since last June. The latest number I got was 940,000 tons, and that's the most, much bigger than the previous high of basically 500,000 tons in March of 2013. Some of this has to do with the sanctions on the Russian oligarch, because there's become a lot of stranded aluminum product or finished alumina ingots that are sitting in warehouses, and they can't be delivered because of these sanctions. They're stamped generally with Eastern Europe as a source, and that means Rusal, Russia, with Deripaska, the Russian oligarch, who is a buddy-buddy with Putin. So lots of stranded stocks. The Chinese production is down, yet we have these record inventories. Chinese are clamping down on illegal capacity, which means polluting smelters. They put in place winter pollution controls. So if you have a coal-fired plant that supplies an aluminum smelter, that's aluminum smelter is going to get shut down along with the coal-fired plant. So despite all these perturbations in the market, we're still in oversupply, yet we've had these crazy price swings because the supply chain is broken, and it's been broken for quite some time now, and the tariffs or the announcement of the tariffs was kind of the catalyst that made people realize how broken this market is. There's too much aluminum product. For instance, a lot of this has to do with the Chinese flooding American markets with cheap aluminum foil, the stuff you have in your kitchen. So it really has upset the market, and it probably has led people to realize how broken this supply chain is, even to the futures and options market, where there isn't enough material traded on the paper market to calm down this situation. So it's looks like to me that we're paying the piper earlier than we would have eventually if this hadn't happened with Trump and the tariffs.
Right. And how much of a chance do you think there is that perhaps the market might come into a much more even-keeled, balanced supply-demand situation as China closes smelters to clamp down on pollution? That's one step in the right direction, isn't it?
Well, it is, but the real problem is finished aluminum products or semi-finished products coming out of China, and they've been dumping them on the world market. And so a lot of times they're funneling this stuff through other countries and other ports, so you don't even know it's actually coming from China. In my opinion, Trump's forced the situation here. It's led to at least temporary turmoil in this market. For instance, Glencore has declared force majeure on all its Rusal supply contracts. Yep. Rusal is all over the world. They're in Sweden, they're in Guyana, they're in Guinea, they're in Jamaica, they're in Ukraine, they have a smelter in Ireland, et cetera, et cetera. And not only that, Rio Tinto's declared force majeure on some bauxite contracts that supply their smelter in Queensland and Australia. So it's just a major disruption of the bauxite to alumina to aluminum supply chain.
Yeah, we're talking, I believe the tariffs on aluminum is 10%. A lot of people getting upset about this here in Canada, Mickey, and in the European Union and Mexico. They're standing up and saying, hey, we're allies. What are you taking aim at us for, you know? What's your view on these tariffs and whether...
Sorry to interrupt, Rob. This is all about making U.S. smelters more competitive. So we get 56% of our aluminum ingots from Canada, and we're very dependent on Canada. But at the same time, we operated in the U.S. at 37% smelter capacity last year. Since Trump announced the tariffs, we've had three major heartland of America smelters announce they'll restart in Kentucky, Missouri, and Indiana. So the goal at the end of the year with the U.S. State Commerce Department and executive branch was to make America smelting capacity reach 80%. We're one smelter away from this. So it really is about protecting our own. And as Trump says, make America great again. And that involves putting people in the heartland back to work. So that and punishing the Chinese and the Russians. And so there's going to be some collateral damage to that for sure.
Yeah. And NAFTA is right there front and center as well, Mickey. A lot of people saying that this is a bargaining or a tactic or ploy or whatever you want to call it, to get a, from an American point of view, to get some better terms in a new NAFTA.
Well, I think that's what it's all about, especially with Canada and Mexico. You know, we've been negotiating NAFTA. When Trump put the exemptions on Canada, Mexico, and European Union, also Australia and perhaps Argentina included in that, those exemptions ended on June 1, and that was kind of his way of saying, this Canada and Mexico, this is your drop-dead deadline to renegotiate NAFTA, and if not, you're going to suffer the consequences. In Canada, it's about aluminum, but it's also about steel, and in Mexico, it's all about steel and the automotive industry, because to my knowledge, Mexico does not produce any aluminum. I could be wrong there, but certainly not very much. And so I think people that say it's a negotiating ploy are absolutely right. It's Trump, the art of the deal, and he is a master negotiator. So in my opinion, he threw down another card of his hand. If we're playing seven card stun, you just saw another card come down, and his Trump card has not been played yet.
Of course, the issue is negotiating a new trade deal, Mickey, that before we get a NAFTA deal agreed to, Canada and Mexico have fired back saying we're going to put tariffs on some of your goods crossing into our country as well. So we have a bit of a trade war breaking out here.
Well, I wouldn't call it a trade war yet. Because this is all talk. You know, I'm sitting up here in Vancouver and I watch BNN. And on Thursday, I was just amazed at some of the hand-wringing, brow-sweating that was coming out from your prime minister and foreign minister, if memory serves, about how bad this was for Canada, how they were going to retaliate. And, you know, when it all comes out in the wash, I think we all realize that our best friends forever are our neighbors to the north, the Canadians. We're conjoined at the hip on our economies and especially on trade. And, you know, no matter how much your ski bum prime minister gets on a bully pulpit, you know, this is eventually going to work out and we'll still be best friends forever, in my opinion.
Does Trump ski? I don't know if he could ski. Could he?
I don't think he skis, but I think he plays a pretty mean game of golf. And, you know, there are more deals done on the golf course than anywhere else, any offices or skyscrapers in the world.
Let's wrap it up on that note, Mickey. We're going to get together again in, 2 to 3 weeks' time?
We will, Rob, and I've already got the subject. We're going to talk about another of these so-called battery metals that has gone flying off the shelf, and we're going to show why that's a bubble without a lot of anything but hot air behind it and how it's going to burst.
Okay, we'll reveal the name of this metal in a couple of weeks, so people are left in the dark. A bit of a mystery show coming up then.
All right, righto, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.